If so, let me start again. I want to thank everyone for coming. I really appreciate the time and the effort that everyone's taken to show up today. The reason for this press conference is, considering the climate of the circumstances going on around the nation right now with law enforcement and its actions and transparency, I felt that it is very important that we actually come out and be transparent as well. Last week, I did an intense, detailed interview with the Chester News and Reporter, and I thought that interview went well. It was very detailed, and it also contained some video. But it seems as if, when viewing that coverage, I guess most people like to just click on the video and not read the article in its entirety. So I think maybe sometimes a visual aid would be a lot more conducive to people understanding the facts and what happened and where we are with this case. So that's why you are here. And once again, I appreciate you coming. Of course, you know this press conference is about the officer-involved shooting that we had at Walmart back in November. It dealt with Mr. McCray and two of our officers. This investigation immediately was picked up by SLED. SLED is the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division that investigates all incidents concerning matters like this. They took this investigation. The investigation was completed in March. And on March the 20th, the city, the police department, the family, and their attorneys were privy to the findings of the investigation. The findings of the investigation, meaning its totality, as far as the facts, the factual matter within it, the videos, and all footage. That day was March the 20th. We're here today to show the video because there's questions being asked that I'm wondering why it took so long. Well, first of all, this is a very, very serious situation. Regardless of what the opinions may be on this situation, this is an incident that involves loss of life. With that being said, body cam footage tends to be very graphic at times. And this body cam footage is no different. It has its graphic moments, and out of sheer respect for the family and the situation, the mother losing her son, I was very hesitant in releasing anything like that. As a matter of fact, at certain parts of the video that I would not deem to be for public consumption due to the fact that we still have a family, we still have family out there, and we still have a mother out there that's grieving over her lost son. So our condolences go out to her, and all due respect, that definitely played a major part in why we held this video, body cam video, so long. But along those same lines, we did reach out to the family's attorney in reference to releasing the video, and here we are today. So, what I'd like to start with you is we have the video on the screen here. And at any point in time that you have any questions, I definitely will address them after the video, okay? Just to give you the landscape, this video starts when one of our officers arrives at Walmart. He's actually en route to Walmart to transport Mr. McCree. Mr. McCree was actually detained for shoplifting in Walmart, and he was called to transport this individual. He was on his way, he heard the radio traffic about Mr. McCree fleeing Walmart. He had assaulted one of our officers already. This officer responded. He responded to Walmart. As he got there, he did hear gunfire. And this is when he actually sees Mr. McCree with a handgun in his hand. And this is the starting moments of this body cam. You see, it's Mr. Boone-Cree with a handgun in his hand. He gives him the command to drop the weapon. He's approaching him. If you can look clearly, you see Mr. McCree walking from behind the car and walking up the parking lot aisle towards him with the gun in his hand. Mr. McCree falls from gunfire. This officer goes to Mr. McCree. You can clearly see him pulling the weapon from Mr. McCree's hand while he's holding him at bay with the other hand. So both hands are tied up. He removes the weapon. He holsters, he rolls him over. You see his arm is stuck under him, and he is handcuffed. So I know that was a big question. Was he handcuffed? Yes, he was. He was handcuffed behind his back. As the video continues to play, what you will find is this officer will actually roll Mr. McCree over and start giving him medical attention. In a perfect situation, law enforcement officers and EMS, we do glove up for things like this, but this isn't a perfect situation. This is something that an officer has to respond to at a moment's notice, and he has to do what he has to do at this point. So, what you will see this officer do, he will actually raise the shirt of Mr. McCree, and he will actually put his hand on the gunshot wound to try to stop the bleeding. Okay, we can stop right there. There's been a lot of questions and a lot of speculation, and I can understand the speculation from the community, speculation from anyone that hears this case. It's not a very common situation where you find or you hear of a suspect that's handcuffed from the back, pointing, producing a firearm. On his face, it sounds very unrealistic and uncommon. But what I'd like to say is, during this investigation, SLED put out a very thorough investigation, extremely thorough. And if you know anything about investigations, they go off of witness statements. If the subject is able to give a statement, it goes off their statements. It goes off of physical evidence. And the last confirmation, if you can get it, is visual confirmation. This investigation included all three, and it resulted in the same findings in all facts, in different findings, in different fashions of this investigation. So the question has been, I've been hearing in the community, was this gentleman unarmed? And the answer is absolutely not. Unfortunately, Mr. McCree was armed with a handgun. And, you know, given the climate of what we're going through right now with Minnesota and other instances around the nation, I can understand the push and I can understand the concern. I can understand the injustice that the community and people all around the nation are feeling with law enforcement, and I get that. And I don't support it. Nobody in our department supports it. But what we do support is truth. What we do support is the facts. And I think any police chief or any sheriff would agree with me on saying that we don't support the injustice, but we do definitely stand by our department with the truth and with the facts, especially when it's right. Right now, this case is currently being possibly reviewed by the Department of Justice. And we definitely open that review. We are open to that review. I definitely feel confident that an additional set of eyes would be good for this situation. Because the eyes may be different, but the factual matter doesn't change at all. You've seen the video. I wanted to actually show you enhanced steel shots that SLED actually produced. These steel shots are from the video, but they're actually enhanced and blown up so you can get a better visual picture of what you're looking at. This first steel shot, just of a vehicle that sustained damage during the officer-involved shooting. Okay. This is the first enhanced photo of Mr. McCrew. If you look here against his black hoodie, you see a silver object. Okay? Let's go to the next still shot. This is a little clearer. This is directly from the body cam. I know you're far back. Can everyone see that silver object in his hand? This is what our officer actually visually seen and began giving commands to Mr. McCree when he arrived on the scene. That silver object is a handgun. Next. As it gets closer, you can actually see the handgun in his hand. This is Mr. McCree as he collapses from gunfire. Right here in his hand is the handgun. This is when our officer actually reaches Mr. McCree. With his right hand, he's covering Mr. McCree with his weapon. With his left hand, he's pulling the gun from Mr. McCree's hand here. That is enhanced for you to see. Next still shot. This is actually a play-by-play still. As he's pulling it out, you can actually begin to make out definitely and confirm what this is. Next tip show. At this point here, I would ask you, will any reasonable person be able to identify that object in that officer's hand? It looks like a firearm to me. But just for questions and debunking all theories, it's been said, well, you know, maybe that gun was planted. Well, you've seen the video, and the video is very seamless. I doubt very seriously that officer had time to pause this video and go retrieve a firearm and plant it on the individual. But most importantly, if you look at your bullet points on the second page, the last bullet from the bottom, on the second page, and it reads, the firearm that was collected from the parking lot and later determined had belonged to Mr. McCree and had been purchased by Mr. McCree from David's Pawn Shop in Rock Hill, May 13, 2016. That is his firearm, it is registered to him. So the planting idea, or us planting the firearm, this right here serves purpose to counter that 100%. These facts that we're talking about today, this is not something that is pleasurable at all. This is a situation to where law enforcement was forced to act. And you may ask me why we were forced to act. Sometimes most of the time in situations, law enforcement situations, you have options. That officer has options. I think we all can agree that the officer in Minnesota, he had options. He could have chose to use more restraint. He could have chose to relieve pressure off of that gentleman's neck. He had options in that situation. Unfortunately, in this situation, this officer was faced with a situation that he had maybe a second or two to decide what he was going to do. Lethal force can be used when it's to protect your life, when you feel like it's an imminent danger, and lives around you. So let's think about the situation. We're at Walmart. A lot of people in Walmart, right? A lot of people in the parking lot. Those are lives around you. When you can identify a handgun in someone's hand and they're walking towards you, does that not account for your life being in imminent danger? In some situations, you have options where you can go to different techniques and different tools, de-escalation processes, negotiations. It depends on the situation. This particular situation, there is no de-escalation. The only de-escalation that this officer had when he gave the commands, and his commands was ignored. At that point, that officer had to respond. And he responded in a justified manner because he was protecting his life and lives around him. Now, if we want to go back and put this all in content, and you have the bullet points. Mr. McCree walked into Walmart and he obtained a lock combo that he shoplifted. A lot of people say, well, does shoplifting has to equate to someone losing their life? No, shoplifting is a start. It only birthed this situation. It's the decision making in between that time that resulted in this. When Mr. McCree fled Walmart on foot after assaulting an officer, he could have ran in the woods, he could have ran anywhere. But he ran in the parking lot, he turned around, and he assaulted that same officer for the second time. That shows decision making, that shows intent. But after that, a second assault, if you run across the parking lot and he goes into his vehicle, and it says that witnesses seen him actually run to his car and go into his vehicle and come out with a firearm, we cannot ask Mr. McCree his mindset at that time and what he was thinking. But would a reasonable person have intent to go to your car and retrieve a firearm to do what? These are the questions that run through my mind constantly that I can't even fathom logic behind it. But on that same token, the scene has been set for this officer to respond the way he should have. As I mentioned before, the injustice that's going on around the nation right now, and that's perceived to be going around the nation right now, and I say perceived because not all situations are how they appear. Just like this situation has probably been deemed and perceived to be one way, but it's really totally different when you look at the facts. Law enforcement in this nation, does it need reform? Yes. All chiefs and sheriffs in their respective organizations, do we need to take a closer look at our policies and how we do business, how we support our communities? Yes, we do. We need to be able to identify and regulate certain aspects within our agencies that actually identifies individuals that has a propensity to do things that is unjust and unlawful. The situation in Minnesota, yes, it gave our profession a black eye, but it's not the profession. It's the character of a man, and it's the mentality of a person, and the lack of humanity that actually made that eye black, so to speak. So we stand behind our profession because it's an honorable profession when you do it right. But when you have individuals that lack humanity, that lack the character, that lack the substance to actually protect and serve like you're supposed to and be accountable, then this is where we are. And speaking for myself, I'm 100% behind addressing those issues. There are certain things that we have in place that we want to go forward with to reassure the community that we stand on a parallel field with them as far as transparency and being able to do our job, and we are being held accountable. Just like we're being held accountable, I like for everyone else in the community to hold themselves accountable, because we are all adults and we are human beings. We all know right from wrong. And that's why I'm standing before you here today, because I stand for what's right. I don't stand for what's popular. I don't yield to the majority. I stand for what's right. That's why I took this job. That's why I've been in for 26 years. And that's why I plan to keep on handling my business. And I think anybody that has any substance about themselves would do the same thing. At this time, I will pause right here and entertain any questions that you may have for me in reference to this case.
Chief, I did have one quick question I want to ask you. Considering there were two officers that fired shots, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Why was one of them not wearing a body cam?
One of those officers was not wearing a body cam, and that's a great question that you asked. That officer was identified, and that officer has been reprimanded for that, because in our policy, we're required to wear a body cam.
So, yes. On duty?
Yes, he was working at Walmart. The officer that actually, footage that you've seen, he was actually working regular duty and he was responding to this officer's call. He was actually coming to transport the McCree subject.
But he'd been issued a body cam and was in uniform, correct?
That is correct.
And just wasn't wearing it.
That is correct.
That's Officer Harris, Chief, that you're talking about?
That's the officer I'm referring to.
Because in the video, there's the second officer that shows up at the end. He appears to be in plain clothes. And I think that's the officer who was working at Walmart.
Okay, and your question is?
Would that explain why he didn't have a body cam? Because he was in plain clothes as opposed to the uniform?
Yeah, that's why I asked about whether
It's not plain clothes. I have a Class A uniform. We have different classes of uniforms that we do wear. While he was working at Walmart, he had on that type of uniform, but he did not have his body cam on. And I think that's what was the most important part, that yes, he did not, in the spirit of transparency, no, he didn't have his body cam on. And mm-hmm. That was identified and he was addressed for that.
When you say reprimanded, can you explain what was done?
We don't go into personnel matters.
Kind of along those same lines, I just wanted to see if you could share with me the timeline of the status of those two officers from the time where the investigation occurred, the day that this happened, to now. Are they still with the department?
Yes, sir, they're still with the department, absolutely.
Were they at any point not with the department and rehired to the department?
No, they were never rehired. During situations like this, when you have a serious situation like this, officer-involved shooting, and SLED comes to investigate, or your bigger agencies that can investigate, that choose to investigate these situations like this themselves, the officers usually go on administrative leave. And rightfully so, because you have a very intense situation that's going on. Officers are usually given the services that they may need during a traumatic situation like this. And it depends on this department specific. When those officers come off of administrative leave, they're able to go back on duty and continue working. Addressing the question that you just asked me, those officers were never separated from the department and they continued working.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sir, is there anything you can say about the conduct of the officer that originally took Mr. McCree into custody inside Walmart and handcuffed him?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything about his conduct that was unusual, or because Mr. McCree apparently attacked him and ran?
Right.
So, can you describe the arrest?
I think the arrest went fine. I mean, Mr. McCree was handcuffed behind his back. So I don't have any problem with the arrest. Where the problem comes in is what happens after the arrest when the officer is assaulted. This officer has become a victim at this point. When Mr. McCree flees Walmart and the officer is running after him, Mr. McCree stops, turns around, looks at that same officer, and assaults him again. What I mean by assault, he actually rammed his head, headbutted him in a forceful manner. So his conduct during that time, this officer was just trying to do his job. He was just trying to make the best out of the situation because he became the victim very quickly. And sadly to say, poor decisions were made, and this started as shoplifting, and this resulted in a very serious, life-threatening, felonious situation that didn't end well. Because at the end of the day, we have lost a young man that probably had some promise to his life, but poor decision making made us have these consequences that we're dealing with.
Do you know if there's actually stored footage?
Yes, sir.
Have you seen it?
Yes, sir, I have.
Will it be released?
Sure. They will be released, not from us. Walmart will actually be the ones to release that. That is their footage.
I have a question about the handcuffs. Were you guys aware at any time that McCree did not have handcuffs on? Or was he able to get out of his handcuffs at any point?
I didn't understand your question, ma'am.
So just looking back at the footage that you were just mentioning,
sure.
It appears that he was running just how you would regularly. Was there at any point that you guys were not aware that he did not have handcuffs on?
Once the handcuffs were placed on Mr. McCree in Walmart, that's where they stayed. So, I mean, the running, you can run. You can definitely run with your hands behind your back. From my understanding, Mr. McCree was a very sizable individual. I'm guessing, just off his background, and let me make this clear, I do not have any interest in Mr. McCree's past. That is not my concern. I'm only dealing with Mr. McCree and the decisions he made on this day. But hearing about Mr. McCree, I heard that he was quite the athlete. He was a football player here. He played football in college. I haven't really seen him personally, but just going by what I do know, I think we're about the same size, maybe. I'm 6'2", close to 250. I say he may be about my size. So, you're athletic enough to have to run with your hands behind your back. And you're also flexible enough to hold a firearm while handcuffed. That is something that I know has been in question and is very, very possible, as we could clearly see. And that's why I'm glad this body cam exists, and it clearly shows what was in his hand. There's no way that it could be seen or perceived any other way. And with that being said, I've took the pleasure in actually showing you what I'm talking about. The anatomy of a person, especially a man, from the shoulders to the waist, ideally it's in a V shape. We all agree, from the shoulders to the waist, some men, as we get older, that changes. But in the perfect world, your shoulders are a little wider than your hips, than your waist, okay? If you have long arms or you are very flexible, you're able to extend your hand around your body and you can hold an object. It's been said that there's no way that a man could hold a point of firearm if his hands are behind his back or if he's handcuffed. This is a training weapon. So I want to make sure everybody's safe. This is a training weapon. This is a Glock, similar to what he had, but we can all agree that this is a handgun, can we not? Am I pointing at anyone? putting my hands behind my back, and I have the flexibility to do so. Any other questions?
Chief, I wanted to ask you about that Walmart, because in the last couple weeks, that store has been repeatedly shut down.
Yes, sir.
And I've been by sometimes, and I've seen officers out there. Sometimes your officers are out there late at night. I don't know if some of this has to do with McCree, maybe some of it has to do with other protests related to George Floyd, mm-hmm. but there have been threats, and it's, I can't count the number of days, but it's a lot of days that Walmart has been shut down. I wanted to see if you might address that.
It's a lot of days. Unfortunately, doing this, ever since this has happened, we've been taking a lot of negativity, a lot of flack from some people in the community, not all, but some. And you know what, in this profession, it comes with the territory. And I do understand it, I get that. Unfortunately, you have an institution like Walmart that's caught in the middle of this situation. And there have been times where we've had to advise management that, okay, there will be protests, there will be times where we deem that the situation is not favorable or safe. I wouldn't want any customer in Walmart if it wasn't a safe place to be, or manager or employee. So yeah, Walmart has had to make some adjustments to their timing and when they're opening and when they're closing, even around the pandemic situation that we're dealing with. So with that being said, everybody has their right to express themselves, and we respect that, and we will be there to protect them, you know, while they do that. As a matter of fact, some protests for injustice and for things to get better and for relationships to actually be stronger and for us to come to the table and come to one consensus, you might see me out there. You may see any of my officers out there, because we stand for that. Now, what I don't stand for is the destruction of your own infrastructure. I can't sign off on that. I'm definitely not going to sign off on the looting. I'm not going to march for that. But if we're marching for what's right, oh yeah, I'm marching. Why wouldn't I?
Chief, could you describe the arrangement that your department has had with that Walmart? It seems like you station some of your officers there regularly.
Some of the officers has been in Walmart working security there. They've been supplying Walmart security, and that's why the initial introduction between Mr. McCree and one of my officers, that's how I existed, because he actually stole the item out of Walmart at 8:58 and decided to return back about 2 hours later. So.
And the officers would usually be wearing that other kind of uniform that you mentioned earlier? That's the one that Officer Harris is wearing?
Officers will usually wear their Class B uniforms, but you know, officers are clearly identified by their police vests or another type of insignia that they wear. So the first face that you usually see when you come through a Walmart door and you're greeted usually is by an officer. So we think visibility in that case served Walmart very well.